everybody, how you doing? And welcome to the latest Snodcast. On this week's ramblings, you'll find out all about that long, drawn-out saga that has been continuing on the show over my doorbell. Kirsty abuses Bruce Forsyth, we find out why we celebrate Halloween, and we talk about clapped-out motors, and my dad had the best of them, if that makes sense. Anyway, it's all coming up on this week's Snodcast.
The Snodcast.
Well, yesterday, remember we've had this discussion on the programme on numerous occasions about my doorbell?
Yes.
And how I've had issues with getting it working.
Yes.
And then Ginger, a.k.a. Copper, a.k.a. the family man, a.k.a. the equaliser, a.k.a. and there's loads of other names that we call him.
Family man?
Yeah.
Why is he called a family man?
Well, he drives...
The family man isn't Ginger.
Well, we know that. It's because he drives an estate car and there only is him.
Are you serious?
True, Bill.
Not a people carrier, though.
No, it's an estate. It's an estate.
But what does he do for a job, though? Does he need the space?
No.
Right.
So, anyway. You're awful laughing. This is one of my best friends.
I'm not the one that calls him family man. Or equaliser. Or copper. Whatever.
Anyway, right. So, he came around to fix the problem. And he couldn't. But then he realised that he could fix it if he put a battery-operated doorbell on there.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, ladies and gentlemen, is the batteries run down every 2 weeks. And no one ever rings the doorbell. No one calls in my house. Very rarely.
It's very strange.
And anyone who comes to your house anyway, Kirsty, you know yourself. Anyone who comes to your house is... You know they're coming.
You know they're coming, so you're watching out for them.
You know what I mean?
Big knock on the door.
Unless it's the window cleaner...
Well, you soon know that he's there.
I know. Here, do you know what happened to my window cleaner?
What? Did he fall?
Well, my windows haven't been cleaned in months, and I'm holding tight for him to come back because he had a very nasty fall. He broke both arms.
Oh! What a nightmare.
I know.
Oh, you wouldn't be able to do anything for yourself.
No. So he's been out of action for a while. So anyway, I haven't had a doorbell ring from him in a while. And who else calls at the door? No, that's really about it.
Right.
Because where I live down the wee laneway, you see, and I don't get to... You see these punters who come to your house trying to sell you paintings and all, and they're just scoping the place out to see what's good inside? Well, they haven't been around either.
I have a good confession to make, but we'll talk about it in a minute. Anyway, carry on.
Right. So anyway... So the doorbell hasn't been rung, and I'm sort of thinking to myself, right, I've already put in a few pounds worth of batteries in this thing, but they keep running out every 2 weeks. Now, just to let all the kids, make them aware that if you're going to try and call up my gaff on Friday, okay, or Thursday, or some night this week to try and do your trick-or-treat nonsense, okay? Nonsense, that's
fast. It's not nonsense,
Pete.
It's a good way of making money. Well, you don't really give money these days, you give sweets.
No, but it's not right either, giving them the old E's if they come round to the house, do you know what I mean? E's as in E numbers, ladies and gentlemen.
I was going to say.
Do you know what I mean? Because sweets aren't good for them. Not good for the teeth.
I know, but it's Halloween. Have you seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the new one? You sound like his dad. He's a dentist, by the way, anyway.
So anyway, listen, if you're coming to my calf, you need to wrap the door, okay?
Really loud.
Yeah, do it really loud. Because there's no chance in hell I'm putting batteries in before Friday. And the chance of getting the family man round again to fix it before Friday is never going to happen.
The Snodcast.
Now, Kev. Listen to me, Kev, please. My friend, who we called the family man.
Mm-hmm.
There's just him. No kids. Just him.
No girlfriend?
Not at the moment.
A dog, perhaps?
No. Because Kev says, Pete, what's wrong with estate cars? That's why we call him the family man, by the way. What's wrong with estate cars? I drive a Vauxhall Vectra, SRI estate, with 19-inch alloys. Woohoo! But then he goes on, he slates himself, he says, it looks like an undertaker's car.
Why does he mention the alloys after he mentions the fact that it's an estate? Does that make it sound better?
Yeah, but then he turns around and says, it looks like an undertaker's car. And then he says, I have three kids.
Yeah, but it's got 19-inch...
Well, that's okay, then. Kev, you are the original, the proper family man.
Because he's got three kids. But it's got 19-inch alloys, Pete. It's all about the alloys.
It's all about the size. It's all about the rims. That's what it's all about, isn't it, Kirsty?
Oh, yeah.
It's all about the rims. Anyway, good morning, Kev. Now, I said that we were going to give, time this morning for Kirsty to give up, to give you a big confession this morning.
Yeah, and get something off my chest.
And we're going to talk about it now because, well, this sort of spawned from my talk earlier on about my doorbell, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it still isn't fixed. The family man came round to fix it, but then couldn't fix it. Then he's put batteries in it, and the batteries run out every 2 weeks. We've discussed this before. I'm sorry for going on about it, but I just want to let all the kids know in case they're coming trick-or-treating at my door this week.
Got to knock really loud.
Really loud. Otherwise, there's no chance in hell I'm going to make it to the front door. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, it's whenever you mentioned the fact that you lived on a lane so you don't get many callers at the door that triggered this memory.
That's right.
It wasn't that long ago, actually.
No one rings my doorbell. No one rings my bell.
Well, some people do with me, and generally they have backpacks. And they keep coming back, and you know, I'm a nice person, and I...
Well-dressed with backpacks.
Yeah. So I talk to them.
Can we just say at the stage that we respect people's beliefs?
We respect backpackers.
We respect people's beliefs, okay? Just, I can say so. So the backpackers came to the door and rang the doorbell, and you came out and spoke to them.
And I took one of the leaflets. So then they had to come back, you know, for the second time to check if I'd read it or not.
And had you read it?
Well, I was honest, I said, no, sorry, it's still sitting on the side.
Honesty is the best policy.
Well, you know, I'm a very honest person. Sometimes it doesn't go in my favour. And then, you know, every couple of weeks they'd be back
to check if he's read it.
Uh-huh.
Next time they called, had you read it?
No, but they didn't bother asking next time. But, you know, funny, they always called when I was really busy, so I could invite them in.
It's always a way.
But recently we were out in Bangor, me and the kids, and I was shattered. I wanted to go home and get into bed for a bit. So we were heading back home and the kids were like, no, but you promised we'd go to so-and-so place. And I said, no, I just need to get home. Got loads to do. Drove up into my street, which is sort of, it's like a huge cul-de-sac. So, and then I turn off and drive into my driveway. But I didn't because I spotted two people with backpacks. Just like one door down from my house. And I thought, do you know what, kids? Yeah, maybe we will go back into Bangor. So we did a bit of a detour for about an hour and a half.
They haven't been
back
since.
I didn't go home. Well, so far, so good.
Kirsty, I can't believe it. So you drove up the street, you had lots to do, but you decided to spend another hour in Bangor to ensure whenever you came back,
easy
the boys with the backpacks weren't there.
Yeah. Isn't that bad? Should I feel guilty?
You should.
Sorry.
But then I look back at whenever
they're lovely guys as well.
I know that.
And they're always good looking. Why is that?
And we respect their wishes. We respect their beliefs. But in my house, whenever I was a kid, it was slightly different.
What did you do?
I didn't understand for years why whenever the doorbell rung, my mum was saying, right, quickly, behind the settee. The Snodcast. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking yesterday morning on the show about that brand new show on ITV called Britannia High, which is like the UK's equivalent of High School Musical. This is what it's called, okay? It's called take an idea that someone else has done that's been extremely successful, then put your own slant on it, rip it off, do what you want, stick it on the TV, and all being well, it'll be a success.
Uh-huh.
On the weekend there, it could absolutely trounced in the ratings.
Really?
Do you know who beat it in the ratings?
Who?
The Antiques Roadshow.
It's very popular. I like the Antiques Roadshow. Maybe Bruce Forsyth's better suited to that.
Oh, Kirsty, no!
It's all in the name.
Ladies and gentlemen, earlier on the show, before 7 o'clock, we were discussing Strictly Come Dancing and the role that Bruce Forsyth plays. And the fact that Kirsty well and truly slated Bruce, saying that he should be off the TV, he's not worth the 450 grand that they're paying him a year, he should be well and truly gone, I've got a problem with. And the reason why is because I think, number one, he is extremely talented. Number two, he's funny. Number three, he's entertaining.
He's not funny.
Kirsty, hold on. Let me finish. And number four, he's had such a successful career. Like, you know what? Any of us, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about no matter what profession you're in, if you can have a career that lasts as long as what Jussie Bruce has had, you've got to pat yourself in the back, and that has got to be respected. And that is what I said. Kirsty,
you're completely honest, though, Pete, you would agree with me.
What?
He's had his day. Move on, let some fresh blood in that can do a better job, and it could be funny.
Well, I am open for offers if anyone from the BBC would like to contact us.
Can you dance?
I don't know, but I'll give it a go. I'm telling you something, I might not be able to dance, but it would certainly be entertaining. This is the Snodcast. Right, Big West and I, hello?
Gosh, I feel like I had to ring up there and just raise the point there about Kirsty's derogatory remarks earlier. As a founding member of the BFPF, the Bruce Forsyth People's Front,
yes.
I think she's going to have to make a public apology, or we're going to have to burn her at the stake.
Big West, listen to me here, right? And I hope you agree with me that Brucey is a legend, that he has had a phenomenal career, and that should be celebrated.
He's a national treasure.
That's what I thought.
National treasure. He's up there with, like, the Giant's Causeway.
There you go.
Christy's going to have to be burnt at the stake if she doesn't take her the remorse back, or she can have the Brucey bonus, which is just like a bit of a public slogan.
Right, okay. But we'll get our views and comments now. Thank you, Big Wes.
Tell her that the BFPF are on her case. You need to get her act sorted out.
Right.
Be lucky, Big Mom. Speak to you later. Cross me there. Bye.
There you go. I'm not taking it back. I believe everything that I said. It's my opinion, and I'm entitled to it. And I get a public flogging every day on here anyway, so it doesn't make any odds to me.
Well, thank you very much, Big Wes, for those comments.
It'd be interesting to see how many people agree with him. Or disagree, for that matter.
Well, that's true. I mean, yeah, you're more than welcome to.
631-3 I need a voice for my side.
Start your message with the word cool, or you can call us up 918-2010. Kirsty's view on it is that Brucey should be gone. My view on it is...
he gets paid more than the four judges on the panel altogether. That's not right. They have the hard job. They so do!
Eight!
They have to have a reason why they give an it.
Two! Anyway, listen, I don't care, right? I know you don't get Brucey. I still think that Brucey does a damn fine job, and I respect him. So there you go.
I think somebody could do a better job.
Bruce, you're welcome in this show anytime you like.
I'll take that day off.
All right, then. The Snodcast. Good morning.
Good morning, Pete. What about you? Morning, Kirsty.
Well, she's actually out for a smoke.
Is she? Right. Well, you tell Big Wes, right, that the PATCTK is on his case.
What's that?
People against the cruelty towards Kirsty in the morning.
I like that.
You like that?
I like that. All right, matey. Thank you.
No bother, Pete.
Good luck, mate.
Cheers, mate. Bye. The
Snodcast. Happy Halloween. What do you say? Happy Halloween. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit ironic sort of a statement, isn't it? Because it's going to be ghosts and ghouls and wouldn't really make you happy.
Yeah. See, a lot of people don't even agree with Halloween.
Seriously?
Depending on their religious sort of
beliefs and stuff?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Well, I was thinking about this morning, ladies and gentlemen, on the way to work. And what actually, why do we actually celebrate Halloween in the first place?
Well, Halloween as a word, you know there's an apostrophe between the two E's?
That's correct.
Halloween is actually short for All Hallows Eve.
All Hallows Eve.
Yes.
Right.
And it's the night, obviously, of October 31st, when the spirit and the normal world allegedly become one.
Right. So, out of any nights of the year, tonight's the night to phone Ghostbusters?
Quite possibly, yeah. Because you'll get, you know, some people would believe in witches and this, that and the other, so they'll be...
No, yeah. That's a horse.
It really was, wasn't it? So, you know, the covens will all be getting together and, you know, there can be quite a sinister side to Halloween.
Yeah.
But
all we think about is dunking for apples,
yes,
eating apple tarts with pound coins in them, and dressing up.
That's the bit we like.
If only I was a student again.
Well, are you going to dress up tonight?
No, last night I was leaving the cinema in the Odyssey after the premiere of the Bond movie, mm-hmm, and the queue was massive for a nightclub in there, and everyone was dressed up.
Class. Any good outfits there?
You're going to your Halloween party tonight, Kirsty, dressed as what?
I decided to go for the tarty option because I've discovered that it's not as hoi polloi as I thought it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going as a convict cutie.
Well, let me just say something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All the bloke students last night going to that particular establishment would have absolutely been loving it last night. Do you know why?
Why?
Because half the queue last night went for the tarty option.
Yeah.
So there you go. Almost found a newfound respect for Halloween last night. The Snodcast. If you just joined us, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about clapped out motors. Kirsty's has finally clapped out. It seemed to...
Well, it hasn't clapped out yet. So have you ever seen me standing outside of the road?
Someone arrived. Pick her up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, no, it's about to die very shortly. And the mechanic, yes, he said, don't be putting, you know, good money after bad. Just forget about it and transfer yourself a new motor.
I might sell the alloys off it. It's got a nice set of alloys. It could be reconditioned because they need some work on them. It's because somebody offered me money for those recently, and I turned them down.
It'd be a collector, someone who's a bit of a spotter when it comes to Astra type stuff, and wanted them.
Yeah,
that's the way it works.
I should sell it off for parts.
Anyway,
rather than scrap it, because that costs, you know.
Take it to the scrapyard and they'll pay you money for it.
No, they don't. You've got to pay them to take it off your hands.
What?
Seriously?
I don't believe you.
No, I'm joking, because my Orion cost me £55 to get rid of.
Wow. So anyway, right, I can't believe you have to pay to get shot of something.
Yes.
That is ridiculous. Please take it off my hands. There's 50 notes. That's bizarre. Anyway.
Stereo's coming out of it as well, because it's good.
Absolutely. Why don't you just hand it over and just say, listen, you can keep the stereo if you take it off my hands. But anyway.
No, Sam wants it.
The car I'm talking about, and did not, you know. Anyway, right, well, we're talking about this Escort and Orion business, and I said they both look the same from years ago. And Kirstie, let's be fair, and
no,
let's be honest
don't.
About it. They do. I haven't got the right Escort photograph here. But the sandwich man is with me in this one. He's texted the show this morning.
The older Escort. Was the Escort brought out after the Orion finished? Is that what they're saying?
I think the sandwich man really, really sums up the difference between the Escort and the Orion. Pete, the sandwich man here. The Escort was the exact same as the Orion.
It wasn't the exact same, otherwise it would still have been an Escort.
Apart from a new front grille and a larger boot with a spoiler. Oh yeah, there you go. So that's the only difference. So you can say whatever you like. But I'm taking the sandwich man's word this morning. Do you know why?
Why?
Because he's agreeing with me.
This is the Snodcast.
97.4 Cool FM. Sex and Fire from Kings of Leon. Have you checked out the album yet? It's very, very good. I like it. I borrowed it off a friend. You know that sinking feeling whenever you're playing the song going, oh damn, forgot to give it back to them.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming shortly, some sugar peas. Morning to you. You're waking up with the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show. Remy says, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no difference between the Orion and an Escort. They are both bundles of. Thank you very much,
right, okay.
Remy, for that.
Well, I liked mine.
I remember. Did. I remember my friend David used to drive this towards the tail end of the Escort era when they were built. My friend Dave used to drive a 1.8 GT. Escort.
Right.
Do you remember them? Big spoiler in the back.
It's an Escort. I don't know what different ones look like.
Yeah, but his was really...
What colour was it?
Davey always had a bit of cash. Like, Davey had a bit of cash. It was like dark navy blue metallic and it was beaute. And it had leather interior and all. And it was fantastic. And I remember driving it home from Edinburgh one weekend. I was on the motorway and it was within the legal limit, but it was very quick.
Mm.
We liked it. I liked it very much. In fact, you know what? Do you know how long ago this is? I've got to be honest with you.
How long?
Well, there's actually a picture of me. I know this is really bad, and you can't do it nowadays, ladies and gentlemen, but there's actually a picture of me driving it, okay, on the mobile phone. Not recommend you do that because that's illegal now, but it wasn't then.
Right.
I think I found out my mum's. I remember that day I had to go into my mum's and clear out all that stuff. Yeah.
Do you remember that? I was thinking about registration numbers. So do you remember the registration number of your first car?
Yeah.
What was it?
I can't say it because the car's still on the road. And I saw actually last week it's still circulating in and around the Bangor area.
Really?
Yeah, and it's like it was the best colour of car I have ever had.
What colour is it?
Volt blue.
Electric blue.
Well, that's you know the way different manufacturers have different names for their colours.
Yeah,
that's what it was called. That's what the colour was. Volt blue. It was like it was just a cracking colour, and it was a Renault Clio, and the registration number was PAZ79, and then the last two numbers, and it's still on the road because I saw it the other day, but the guy has it now, put massive alloys on it and lowered it and all, and it goes around the town going
sipped up.
so that's the situation. Yeah. Why? What was your first car?
My first one that I owned myself was a wee Fiesta, wee red one.
Fiesta?
Yeah, it was FXI.
FXI? That was probably worth some money.
Can I say the number? 9351.
Well, there you go. You just said it. Do you know my mate Johnny bought this red this red Fiesta. It was his first car. I'll never forget it because he used to drive down the hill. My mum and dad live in this hill, ladies and gentlemen, with a bend at the bottom of it, and used to be holding on for dear life going around the corner in case you ended up in someone's garden. Tree bell.
Why?
Because it was a wee clapped out thing. Like, you didn't you were holding on for dear life the handle just in case if you had got out of the car, and sometimes you still had the handle on your hand, you know what I mean, after you got out.
That was like one of mine. I had a Nuva.
Did you?
And it was bright pink.
My goodness.
It didn't really work for, well, I had to get rid of it after a few weeks because it was just too noticeable. Everybody knew where I was. So I didn't get rid. I can't remember that number.
But I just always remember Johnny's number because it was AXI something or other, and the number plate was worth more than the car.
I was going to say, that's really ancient. That was probably, you know, the old style black and white ones where the numbers stand out.
Yeah.
It's not like flat surface.
I remember about 2 or 3 years ago, that plate he had was worth about 1,200 quid.
Really?
True bill. So there you go. But here, listen, there's no one's got bad car stories like my mum and dad.
Why? What's happened to them?
Well, my dad used to drive these successions of, he had minis whenever he was younger.
Uh-huh.
And there'd be one night he was with mum, you know, and they were courting.
Courting.
And he had her in the car. But
how can he court in a mini? Sorry, Irene.
I don't know, but that was the situation. Anyway, so we had this clapped out mini, and the actual exhaust was tied up with a rope. But the best of it was one night he was driving down the street and he saw mum's mum and dad, and they walked along and he stopped to offer them a lift. Mum went to open the door and the window fell out. There's more to come. It was so easy that night. Should have been strong. Yeah, I lied. Nobody gets me. Moving on. So anyway, my dad, right, had another mini, another time.
Yeah.
Okay. And, whenever you used to, the handbrake wasn't sort of working, right? These were in the days before, you know, you really had to go through the MOT and all that sort of nonsense. But there was, the handbrake wasn't working right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether he had to do something with a rope with that too, but, but whenever he pulled it up, the sparks flew up everywhere.
Everybody just needed a new brake, whatever it was then, because wasn't it like a brake drum on the old minis rather than like a shoe and a disc and a...
I don't know, but he just remember telling me he pulled up the handbrake and the sparks flew out all over the place and his mum was out of it as quick as she got into it.
Which isn't very in a mini.
And then of course there was the cracking day whenever they were all out. There was four of them in the car.
Uh-huh.
And they were out for the night, you know, going to the dances.
Yeah.
Pull over side of the road to get out, to go in.
Yeah.
The door fell off. He was stuck looking after the car, so no one nicked it. The Snodcast. Now, on Friday, ladies and gentlemen, we were down at the Irish Radio Awards, also known as the PPI Awards, the Phonographic Performance Ireland Awards. Just in case you want to know what PPI stood for.
Yeah, I only found out when I got there.
Yeah, so did I. Anyway, right, so we're down on Friday night and we had to make the trip to Kilkenny, and we were talking about this yesterday morning on the show, and okay, it was an action-packed weekend, and I think, to be fair, yesterday morning, as I was feeling extremely off-colour on the show yesterday morning, I think it was...
Maybe didn't do it justice.
What?
When we were talking about it, we didn't do it justice.
We probably didn't do it justice, but not just that there. I think, in fairness, yesterday morning, I was... still feeling the effects of Friday night. I think that's pretty well what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, whenever I went home, I forgot all about the room. And we're staying in this hotel in the centre of Kilkenny. And I have to say, it was a lovely hotel, wasn't it?
It was. Very nice.
Very nice hotel. But the room was like baking hot.
It was warm.
And when I mean baking hot, I mean baking hot. Now, I turned off the radiator in the room, but I think there must have been another one somewhere. And when I mean baking hot, it was like a sauna. To be quite frank, in our room, we get left a note from the manager.
Oh.
And I'd actually turned the radiator off and stuff, but there was an issue with the heat in the room. And I thought maybe the letter would be from the manager, you know, saying something about the heat, because we couldn't turn it down. There was no, like, thermostat or anything.
Uh-huh.
And I was expecting the letter to read something like, "Dear Sir Madam, thank you so much for staying at the blah 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 hotel. Just to let you know that this room is so warm you could actually cook a chicken." Or perhaps, "This room is so warm that the biscuits on the side table will melt." Which they did! They
what
did.
Biscuits did you get?
We got these chocolatey things.
No.
They sat on the side table.
Do you know what we got?
What?
Digestives.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It sucks. They'd leave you butter to put on them.
No, but you don't need butter to put on them. But we had no chocolate ones.
Well, yeah.
Did you have a mini bar?
I didn't look. Thank goodness at 4:30 in the morning. I've had enough of that stage of the game. But anyway, this is the one thing, right? We had arrived into the hotel and gone straight out and then came back, quickly changed and out again.
Yeah.
It was only the next morning whenever I found this letter, right, that I realised there was a bit of a flaw with the room. I'm going to read the letter to you and then ask yourself the question, how the hell did he not notice? Dear guest, due to a manufacturing flaw with our wallpaper, it is currently stained. We apologise for the discoloration, but unfortunately it is outside our control, and we assure you we are rectifying the problem at present. I did not see any wallpapers in there whilst I was there. How did I not
notice
the
wallpaper? Wallpaper?
No, wallpapers. You know, people who wallpaper the wall.
Decorators.
Yeah, decorators, wallpapers, whatever they call them. Due to a manufacturing flaw with our wallpaper, it is currently stained.
That's what you call it.
I didn't actually notice it, to be fair. In fact, you know what? I was only on looking closer at it. There isn't actually any wallpaper on the wall.
The Snodcast.
Last night was at the Northern Ireland match. Of course, Northern Ireland beat San Marino 4-0. Top drawer performance. Should have been more, but a win's a win. 3 points in the bag. Happy days. And of course, I was doing the hosting last night at the game, which I thoroughly enjoyed. Yeah, I really, really, really enjoyed it. Besides that, if you did send us in, like you wanted to mention or something at the game, and I didn't get to it, I'm really, really sorry. I had pages and pages and pages of stuff, and I didn't get to get through it all. Right, moving on. At the end of the game, my father and his mate was at the game.
Yep.
And they came up to the press box where I was sitting to get my car keys, because I was going to be another 10 minutes or so. But on leaving the stadium, they ended up somehow in the director's box.
Right.
Don't ask.
Is that easily done?
No, I don't understand how they ended up in there, but they ended up in there anyway, right? The security guard, this is the thing, right? The security guard was showing him the trophies because he's a Linfield fan, and he was showing him all the trophies and explaining what they were. Security.
Right.
So it's quite funny, but I think my dad knew someone. I think that's a situation. I think he knew someone in there, so that's a crack. So they're standing at the bar having a drink. And you know, I'm really, really bad with names, like really bad with names, yeah. But I'm quite good with faces. Well, yeah. I found someone, ladies and gentlemen, who's worse than me. This is my dad's friend, okay? He's standing at the bar and this guy comes up to him and says, excuse me, what's your name? And he gave a false name, very original false name.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it was?
What?
John Smith.
The most common name ever.
Yeah, exactly. And the guy turned around and goes, Tom Smith? You look very like, and gave his real name. And at this stage, his face just dropped.
Right.
When he quizzed the man as to who he was, this is unbelievable, I can't believe it. When he quizzed the man to find out who he was, do you know who it turned out to be?
No.
His friend from years ago, and my dad's friend was actually best man at that gentleman's wedding. Memorable day then.
The Snodcast.
Thank you for checking out the latest Snodcast. As ever, you can listen to the show in real time, weekday morning 6 to 10. And of course, check back here at coolfm.co.uk or on iTunes to get the latest Snodcast. This has been a Pete Snodden Breakfast Show production. Thanks for checking it out.